is Christian Questions.
Ellen Freeman once said, "Angels shine from without because their spirits are lit from within by the light of God." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
Glad to know you. And folks, we're glad that you have chosen to spend some time with us. Jonathan, what is our subject this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, are angels our friends? And our theme text is found in Psalms 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them.
All right. So are angels our friends? Several weeks ago, if you remember, we talked about demons.
Yes.
Hint, they're not our friends.
No.
All right. And we talked about their influence in the world. We looked at how devious they can be as satanic influence as we speak infiltrates our media and our lives. Well, now what about angels? Where do they fit in this present age? Are there really guardian angels that watch over us? Should we try and communicate with angels? Are angels ever at our disposal to help us make decisions? And do they sometimes literally talk us through our most traumatic experiences? And you can tell we're getting very specific here.
Yes, we are.
Wait till you see what's coming. Folks, stay with us this morning as we look into the godly world of angels and what the Bible says their role is in our lives. So, what role, if any, do angels play in our lives? That's really what we want to get down to. We want to get down to some real practical applications of that.
This is one of those subjects, Rick, that people really like and want to talk about.
Well, I think so, because a lot of times you run into folks who have all kinds of experiences where they will believe that an angel guided them through this and did that and even perhaps spoke to them.
Wow.
So, okay, what is all of that? And it's a very, very, very probing discussion we're beginning this morning. So, folks, get yourselves focused on that. If you have any thoughts, if you have an experience you might want to share with us, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, first of all, what is an angel?
Well, Rick, it actually means to dispatch as a deputy.
Okay, so that's what the word means, literally.
Yes.
All right, so, and in the Bible, we will find, as we go through our discussion this morning, that that word is not only used for God's deputies, but it's also used to describe people.
It is?
Yes.
Ah, interesting.
And we'll get into that as we go. One of the things we're going to focus on this morning, though, is a National Geographic TV program called Explorer, and the title was The Angel Effect. Very fascinating program looking at some of the things that happen to people and their reactions to those things. And actually, let's go to a soundbite from that program. Let's just play just part of the introduction to give you an idea what they're going to be looking into.
For some at the brink of life and death, there are mysterious beings who intervene and help them in the fight for their lives. Some call them guardian angels. Others say it's just a hallucination of a delirious mind.
Dun dun. So, there are experiences that many people have where they have this, get this help that's seemingly supernatural. So the question that the National Geographic special poses is that supernatural help, or is it just a hallucination of a delirious mind?
Interesting.
And it is an interesting question. So let's look at angels. Let's look at the role that angels played in the scriptures. The first time the word angel is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 16. And it's under in a kind of an odd situation, I think. This is when Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham, and Sarai, his wife Sarah, you know, her name was
changed,
right, from mm-hmm. Sarai to Sarah. Mm-hmm. This is before Isaac was born, okay? And remember, Hagar was the handmaiden of Sarai.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there wasn't, because Sarai didn't have any children, you know, you had this thing where, okay, Hagar goes in and has a son for Abraham and all this because she was barren. Well, before all of that happens, there's obviously not a good relationship between Sarai and Hagar.
No.
So let's look. This is the first time you have angelic intervention in the scriptures.
But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai."
Okay, so first of all, what we see is Sarai is not treating her well. And
Hagar ran away.
Yeah, she did, and because she was being treated harshly. So Sarai is not showing the best of her character at this point.
No, she's not.
All right, but this angel, this deputy,
found her.
Right, and said, "Okay, where are you going?" Now look, the angel already knows where she's going, but oftentimes we will see that in a godly perspective, we're asked questions that the questioner already knows the answer to, so we can think about the answer.
How about that?
It's like a parent. You know, I want you to think about what you're doing. So Sarai is, or Hagar rather, is intercepted by this angel, this messenger of God, and says, "Where are you going?"
Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction."
So there is a measure of a blessing given to Sarah, to Hagar here.
Absolutely.
She is told that you're pregnant. Okay, and that you're going to have a son. His name is going to be Ishmael, and he is going to be the father of a great nation. And this is where the nation of Islam actually comes from.
That's right.
So you have God intervening with a messenger, an angel, to make sure that she goes back to where she came from. And the messenger is essentially telling her, okay, put up with the difficulty because you need, that's where you need to be.
Plus, you're going to be blessed with this son.
Right. Now, it's interesting because, and we don't have the verses here, but a few verses down, it talks about how he's going to be really quite a wild young man.
Yes.
But still, she's blessed with this son who becomes a father of many, 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 many nations. So you've got, that's the first introduction of angel in the scriptures. And so it's something that's relatively significant because it's in the life of Abram. Mm-hmm. Who becomes Abraham, Isaac, coming down later, Jacob, Israel, God's chosen people. So there's a very important role that this angel is playing here.
That's right.
All right, now, let's go back to National Geographic TV for a moment here, and let's get started with one of the, they tell several stories in this special, but we're going to focus mainly on one, the guy's name is Ron DeFrancisco, and he was one of the last person actually to escape the South Tower in 9/11.
Wow.
And he had a very harrowing experience. So this is going to begin to lay that out for us.
Ron DeFrancisco was the last person to escape the South Tower of the World Trade Center on 9/11 and survive. Today he's brought his family back to New York. But the skyline of Manhattan looked quite different 10 years ago.
It was great working in the financial center of the world and to work in the tallest buildings. It was phenomenal, and it was just a rush, you know, running into the offices and taking the elevators up to the 84th floor and the buzz in a trading room with 300 people. Unbelievable.
All Right. Now, if you recall, and just to fill in the blanks, the 84th floor, that trading room, is exactly where that plane hit.
Oh, wow.
All right. So he was literally working in
that building, that room.
Not only that building, but that floor and that room when all of this was unfolding. So we're sort of giving you the introduction to the story. What has this got to do with angels? Just wait. Just wait. Okay. You just need to see the introduction first. So, with that in mind, let's get back to the scriptural look at angels here. And there are a lot of Old Testament descriptions of spiritual beings. It's not just angels. So let's just kind of try and define some of the other things that are talked about in the Old Testament in terms of spiritual beings.
Well, Rick, one mentioned in the scriptures, how about cherubim?
All right, a cherubim. And when you think of a cherub, do we have to get this? Here's the vision, okay? The vision of a cherub is this cute, chubby little baby with angel wings that sort of sits on your shoulder. Oh, look at the cute little cherub! But what is a cherub in terms of scripture?
It's an angelic being. It's a guardian of Eden.
And actually, let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 24.
So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
So when Adam and Eve are cast out of the Garden of Eden, there are these cherubim, these angels. They don't sound like cute little babies with diapers with wings, do they?
No, they're guardians.
Flaming swords. And all of this.
Yes.
So the picture of a cherubim in the scriptures is way
different
than what we sort of have conjured up in our own little minds down at this time of the age. So you have cherubim showing up through the Old Testament periodically here and there.
Another spiritual being is referred, Rick, in the scriptures as a seraphim.
And this is a little bit, there's only one time that this seraphim is referred to from the standpoint of an angelic or spiritual being. And that's in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8.
Then one of the seraphim flew to me with burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me."
So that's just a short part of the Isaiah 6:6-8 scripture. As a matter of fact, if you subscribe to CQ Rewind, on the full edition, which is a free service, and the bonus material, the rest of that context is in there and discussed, so it gives you a bigger picture of it. But this seraphim, the word literally means to be set on fire, to be burning. That sounds pretty serious.
It sure does.
And go ahead.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Again, that's at ChristianQuestions.net.
With the seraphim, that word is also used in relation to poisonous serpents, which is kind of an interesting thing.
That is.
Well, because the poison, if you were bitten by a poison, it feels like fire.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of burning is something that gives us a sense of what this is talking about. So it's talking about something very powerful, and something kind of fearsome.
Yes.
So some of the things we're seeing so far is, first, angels are messengers, okay, deputies, if you will.
Yep.
There are different kinds of angels or different kinds of spiritual beings mentioned in the Bible. So what does that do? What do we take from that to understand the role that angels play in our lives?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are angels our friends? Scripturally speaking, how many different ways are spiritual beings referred to? Make a list. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are angels our friends? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So as we begin this conversation about angels, and we look at the scriptural use of angels, and with that question, the backdrop, are angels our friends? And we phrased it that way purposefully so that you look at it and say, are angels, are they there to talk to get advice from, to have involved in your everyday experience, or is their role something very different, or do they not even play a role at all in human lives? That's really what we want to begin to focus on here. So again, let's go back to the Old Testament and let's look at the first use. We talked in the first segment about different different levels, maybe, or different names for angels: cherubim,
seraphim,
and of course angel.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a whole different take on labeling these spiritual beings. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 1-5.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And Jehovah said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for that he also is flesh, yet shall his days be 120 years. The Nephilim were in the earth on those days, and also after that, that the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same were the mighty men that were of old, the men of renown. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continually.
So we know that this is the context of before the great flood.
Yes.
And what happens is the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, who were the sons of God?
They were angels.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, were they angels?
Spiritual beings.
Oh, now, let's think about this for a second.
Right.
Because if an angel, remember, you said the definition was like a deputy.
Yes.
And literally, it's a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The going to deliver a message. These were spiritual beings created by God.
But they weren't sent for a message.
Right. Well, and see, that's the important thing
you're
here.
You're right.
You look at this and you say, wait a minute now. So these spiritual beings weren't sent by God to deliver some message. They were poking around on their own,
mm-hmm.
is what they were doing.
Yeah.
So they're not called angels, and rightfully so. But they are spirit beings. So what we're seeing is that angel really is a job description.
Ah, that makes sense.
Rather than a being description.
Gotcha.
All right, because it's a one who delivers a message. It doesn't mean that every spirit being that delivers a message, their only spiritual work is, oh, what do you do? Well, I'm a message deliverer. That's all I ever do.
Like the postman.
Yeah, yeah. The postman's got a life when he's done delivering
that's
his messages, right? So I think that's important to understand. So it sort of expands our view of angelic activity and spiritual activity. And again, this is all way beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to this individual, Ron DeFrancesco, in the National Geographic television special, The Angel Effect. And again, he was the last person to get out of the South Tower on 9/11. And he had a very harrowing experience that has an awful lot to do with the role that angels do or do not play in our lives. So let's listen to what happens next.
About 10 minutes after a plane smashes through the North Tower, DeFrancesco, still at his desk in the South Tower, gets a phone call from a friend.
And he just said, just get the hell out of there. Get the hell out now.
And he did. Just seconds before a second plane destroys his trading room on the 84th floor. Now with a group of survivors, DeFrancesco and others attempt to make their way down a dark emergency stairwell.
The fire was rising, so we turned around and started climbing back up.
So think about this. Talk about drama and trauma in your life. First of all, he's in the South Tower. The North Tower gets hit by a plane. You can literally look out your window and see it.
Mm.
He's still on that 84th floor. A friend of his calls him, says, get out of here. Just get out of there. Will you just leave? So he does. And seconds after he leaves and gets into the stairwell, starts heading down, the plane hits.
Wow.
Literally where he was sitting.
Unbelievable.
And completely obliterates that area. And so now you have, they're trying to go down the stairs, but the fire's coming, so they turn around, and they're actually going back up and not down now.
Which is the wrong way.
But there's fire down there. So you can't go walk through fire, so they're in a tough spot.
They are.
Okay? So again, what does this have to do with angels? Just wait. All right, we'll get to that very soon. Jonathan, let's get back to the discussion on sons of God. And folks, listen, if you have a thought, maybe you have had experiences where you feel like you've had a guardian angel take care of you or deliver you, we'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.net, no matter the day or the time.
That's right. And if you'd like to not talk on the phone but communicate with us, you can also do so at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. That's a personal email, and you will get a timely personal response there. So, Jonathan, let me just diverge for a moment. You know, we're sort of dancing around the idea of guardian angels.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
believe in guardian angels?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Good.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Okay. Now, how they apply, we'll get to that soon. Let's look at Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, because this is the only other use in the Old Testament of the phrase sons of God. And this is very interesting. Listen to how it puts it all in a perspective.
Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, that Satan also came among them. And Jehovah said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Jehovah said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth. A perfect man and upright, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil.
So here in this context of, and this is setting up the account of Job,
mm-hmm.
and we know that the account of Job, you know, Job deals with all kinds of grief and difficulty.
Yes.
But
which God permitted.
Right. And God is having this gathering of the sons of God.
The spiritual beings.
Right, which we would normally call angels, but now we're trying not to.
Right.
Because we're understanding that according to Scripture, an angel is a messenger, which means a spiritual being on a specific mission.
That's right.
All right. So he has all these sons of God coming before him. And Jonathan, there's got to be billions, I would imagine.
And someone slipped in the door.
Yeah.
Satan.
And so, but see, here's the interesting thing. It says Satan was with them. It doesn't say Satan was one of the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at this, it would probably mean that the sons of God were all good angels.
I would think.
So again, it's giving us indication that every spiritual being created by God is not what we would call an angel. But it's angel is more or less a job description. And we actually use that word that way in our physical lives. For instance, when somebody's having trouble and some stranger comes and helps them along, you know, picks them up and oftentimes somebody, when they're describing, they say, and then an angel came.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that person was simply a messenger of goodness.
Yes.
And so we use that word.
We do.
The way it should be used.
Interesting.
But then when we apply it to spiritual beings, we try to encapsulate every spiritual being that God ever created as an angel. And I think that there's much, much more to it than that. Folks, what do you think? It's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Let's get away from the National Geographic story for a moment, and let's go to one of those individuals who just believes that angels are there for our discovery. They want to be a part of our lives. They want to basically be our friends. Okay, this comes from angeltouchcyprus.com. And this is a woman who's talking about how to get in touch with your angels. All right, here, let's listen to what she says.
But in the meantime, try writing that letter. Just sit quietly and ask your guardian angel to come to you. Or to show you names, like for example, you could flick through a magazine and see the same name over and over and over again. You may just hear the name in your head or just know the name. Try it. It is such an amazing experience to know your guardian angel. They've been wanting you to acknowledge them since your birth, as they were assigned to us by birth, by the Creator.
So that is putting a whole different perspective on the matter here.
It is. And our last program on angels and demons, wasn't
it? Yeah. Well, it was on demons specifically. So
maybe we better be careful of following this advice.
Well, and I think you're absolutely onto something, because what she's saying is, look, your guardian angel wants you to get in touch with them. They want you to acknowledge their presence. They want you to know their name. So write them a letter. Sit quietly. Flip through a magazine, and you know, if there's a name that keeps popping up, hey, that might be your guardian angel's name. So she's saying, seek out their personal interaction with you. Do you think that that's the right thing to do? Or are we starting to tamper with things that we ought not to? Again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
Job.
Okay, so we're going to go back to Job.
Yes.
We talked about the sons of God, and we're looking at, okay, spiritual beings, and are all spiritual beings angels, or are there other ways of describing them? Let's listen to Job 38, 4 to 7.
Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it, thou hast understanding. Who determined the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who stretched the line upon it? Whereupon were the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
So here, and this is also very, very interesting, because here Job is being challenged by God.
That's right.
Because Job's had all his life has fallen apart, and he's wondering, well, you know, what's going on, God, in my life here? And God is saying, look, Job, you think I don't have it under control? Were you there when the foundations of the earth were laid? You know, were you there when I separated the land and the sea? Were you there when I put the stars in heaven? Were you there when the morning stars, and these are spiritual beings,
sang together?
And all the sons of God shouted for joy. So all of these sons of God, all of these spiritual beings, they weren't called angels because they weren't delivering anything. He's saying, were you there in that context? I was. So you think your little life is out of control? I got it.
I would have loved to have heard that choir.
Someday, my friend. Someday. Someday. Satan, at one point, was one of these spiritual beings of great, high, lofty, godly power.
Yes.
Isaiah 14, 12 to 14.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, that dost layest low the nations? And thou sayest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High.
And that is why Satan was a very high and lofty spiritual being, but was reduced to a spiritual being that was out of God's favor and, in fact, became contrary to the will of God.
And he was called Daystar.
Right.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so it sounds...
Son of the morning.
It sounds like he was in a very special, very high place.
It really does.
So what do we know so far? Spiritual beings are referred to in a lot of different ways. Let's just list off a few of these
okay.
things.
Okay. Cherubim.
All right.
Sons of God.
Right, and we were just talking about that.
Angels.
And that's the obvious answer.
Seraphim.
Which is not often, but you do have it in a vision, and it's very, it's almost ominous. It's fiery and incredibly powerful sounding.
Mm-hmm. Morning star.
All right.
And day star.
And day star. So you have these morning stars singing for glory, and all of the angels, see, I get stuck with that. See?
Spiritual beings.
I keep lecturing you, and then I fall into exactly what I'm telling you not to do. All these spiritual beings singing for joy, along with the morning stars.
Mm-hmm.
So what it sounds like is there's almost like a hierarchy in heaven.
You know, it's natural, isn't it? Because on this earth, we have a hierarchy of life.
So what you're saying, then, God creates the earth and puts a hierarchy of life in place.
Exactly.
It would be somewhat reasonable to assume that in the heavenlies that we don't understand, he also has that hierarchy in place.
I would think so. I would think. Now, I was also thinking, Rick, about names that are in the scriptures when I was going through this. And the names of some of the angels that were mentioned, Michael, Lucifer, Gabriel, and Legion, are some of those that hit me as specific names.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other names outside of them.
I'm not sure either.
But what we have is we have a definite perspective that Angels are very individual, and there are different levels of power. And again, angels are messengers, and they are part of the spiritual beings that God had created. So we're beginning to unfold and understand that angels is a job description of the spiritual beings of God.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are angels our friends? Do angels have specific jobs and tasks, or are they free to do whatever they please? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are angels our friends? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And as we're looking at the subject of angels and are angels our friends, we're really spending some time putting together the concept, the biblical concept of what an angel is and what an angel is supposed to do, and also what an angel is not supposed to do.
It's so important to study the Bible topically so that you can get a kind of perspective from all angles and put it together.
Right. So if you're just reading it, what you're saying, just reading it and chronologically, you're going to miss all of the different names of angels.
Yes.
Or names of spiritual beings, I mean. All right. Earlier, Jonathan, we talked about angels as messengers, and human beings can be those messengers.
That's right.
In Revelation 2:1, it gives us an example of that.
To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, he that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks."
So this vision in Revelation given to John, it talks about the angel of the church of Ephesus, and there were, in fact, seven stages of the true church.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that those angels were actually human beings.
We do.
Because they were messengers to guide the true church to a very specific conclusion at that point in history.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we said, people can be angels because they are delivering some kind of message.
That's right.
And that's an important thing for us to understand. So, when we look at angels, what's their role? What are they supposed to do and what are they not supposed to do? Well, here's one thing that they're not supposed to do. Let's look at Hebrews 1, 13 and 14.
"But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?"
So there's a thing that angels aren't supposed to do and a thing that angels are supposed to do in that scripture.
And in this one, they're supposed to minister.
Right. So they're ministering. They're carrying influences in our lives.
Yes.
All right. That's a good thing. They're not supposed to sit at the right hand of God and have their enemies subdued before them. So they're not supposed to take some kind of high and lofty position like God would. And it's exactly what Satan tried to do.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, he was in the wrong place in terms of what he was doing and how he was doing it. And that scripture in Hebrews tells us that. But it also tells us that angels are there to help. So when we say, oh, you know, angels can help us. Yeah, it seems like that scripture is saying that they're ministering spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at a quick example. And this is a very quick example of that ministering, if you will.
Matthew 4:11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him."
This is Jesus right after he is baptized, fasting and praying for 40 days.
Yes.
And Satan comes and tempts him.
That's right.
And once that period of temptation is over, what happens?
The angels came and ministered unto him.
So he was probably physically, mentally, and spiritually
depleted.
Exactly. And he was given help.
That's right.
So you see the angels coming in to the life of Jesus, you know, Jesus here as a man on earth, to help him because he's got a very specific mission to accomplish. So he is getting spiritual help and guidance through these spiritual beings that are on a mission. They are being sent by God to bear him up.
And that's why they were called angels.
Exactly. Exactly.
I got it.
Yeah, well, we'll have to keep reminding ourselves of it, though.
I know.
Because it's such a default
it is.
To think that, well, God created the angels, and then he created human beings and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you when you have that sense, you just get you kind of get lost in all of that.
You do.
You know what? Let's go to the next soundbite, and then we'll go to the phones. Because I want to get further into this angel effect story that was on National Geographic TV on this program called Explorer. This guy, Ron, now remember, he left the 84th floor of the second tower.
And he was heading up the stairs.
Right.
Because the fire was below him.
But then someone decided they had to go back down. So they're in literally a traumatic life and death moment.
Panic state.
Look, they're at least 80-something floors above ground, and they can't use an elevator. Okay, so this is dangerous stuff. Let's listen to what happens next.
Trying to get a way out onto a floor, but we realize that for security, once you go into a stairwell, the door's locked. I guess about by the 91st floor, and some of us turned around and started heading back down. People were lying down. It was...
Held back by the flames and debris just beneath them, many in the stairwell begin to lose hope and oxygen.
The floors were wet and cold, but people were basically going to sleep.
It just paints such a horrific picture because you know what's going to happen to those people that go to sleep.
Yep.
They will die.
They will.
And so he's obviously lived to tell the story, so something else happened to him. But it's a situation where oxygen is now being taken from, and that's why they're falling asleep. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very uncomfortable physical situation. You think, who could sleep there? Well, if you're being oxygen deprived, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So a very traumatic situation. What does that have to do with angels? It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones.
Okay.
And we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, our angels are friends, I'll say. I believe that. A couple of things, maybe three, about the text in particular. Your theme text, Psalms 34:7.
Yes.
I noticed there that this guardian angel, his protection is conditional upon respect or reverence for God.
Okay.
Number one, that relationship has to be based upon respect for God. Number two, my research I did years ago, I shared some thoughts on it, was that we have no direct contact with God except through angels and the Lord Jesus. They, you know, the angel reports back to God about our needs, our situation, etc. I know that when I first mentioned that to some of my peers, they kind of... you know, we're surprised, and you know, they weren't too agreeable to it. But I believe that we have no direct contact with God. And you already mentioned some scripture from there, like Job.
Right.
The sons of God. I like your distinction about the sons of God and the angels. I think that's a good one. And number three, I look forward. I believe I have a guardian angel. I look forward to meeting him someday, and apologize to him for all the stupid things. that I have done and how he was there to protect me. I'm so grateful to God. And I think all of us, Rick and Jonathan and company, all of us could relate some experience, not quite as dramatic as this fellow at the towers there with the airplanes, the 9/11. They wouldn't be maybe not quite as dramatic as that, but I think one day all of us could... thank our guardian angel for delivering us, and thank God for that. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Appreciate your call, Julius. Take care.
Have a good day.
You too. Now, interesting thing. He said angels' protection is conditional, and we're going to really get into that aspect of things. Is it really conditional? In the next segment. So, folks, you want to stick around for that next segment right after 7 o'clock there so we can begin to unfold that from a scriptural standpoint. But he also talked about, you know, our relationship to God works through our guardian angel. Is that true? Does that mean everybody doesn't have a guardian angel? I mean, think about that. Because, you know, we always, it's one of the common things where, well, of course, people have guardian angels. Most people believe that, in this country anyway.
They do. They do. Rick, this is a great program to check out CQ Rewind at our website, christianquestions.net.
Yeah, there's an awful lot on angels in the scriptures, and we certainly can't get to it all in just a couple of measly hours of programming here. But we do have CQ Rewind, the full edition, if you sign up for it. There's bonus material at the end with a lot of extra scriptures that we're not even going to begin to talk about.
It's a free service.
And that's the thing. It's free. It's there for the taking. We encourage you to sign up for it. And if you don't like it for some reason, there's an easy opt-out button. It's that simple. You can opt in and you can opt out. So we're looking at the story, and it's all available only at ChristianQuestions.net, by the way.
That's right.
Only place in the whole world.
Yes.
There's only one place.
ChristianQuestions.net.
That's it. All right. We're looking at what angels do and how they work, and God's spiritual beings. Okay, we always say angels, but God's spiritual beings serving capacity of angels. What they did is one of the messenger objects that they did is they would foretell miraculous events, like in Luke chapter 1, verses 18 and 19.
And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings.
Now see, this is classic. I am Gabriel. He gives his name. It says he's an angel, and it says, I am sent to speak to you.
Right. Messenger.
So he clearly, Gabriel, is much more than a little messenger boy in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he stands,
in
you know,
in the presence of God.
Yeah. He's not just this little messenger boy coming to deliver an envelope. He is a very powerful being sent to deliver the message that Zacharias is going to have a son who will be John the Baptist. And John, we don't have time to read the next one, but Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, delivering God's messages. This is when Jesus was born. And what happened? The angels came to the shepherds.
That's right.
And you had that. Now, see, if you were one of the shepherds, you could have heard the heavenly choir.
I wish I could hear them. I want to hear them.
So you have angels, spiritual beings, sent to foretell miraculous events, mm-hmm. sent to deliver God's messages, sent to minister. So they're sent to do a lot of different kinds of things. But every one of the things they're sent to do is very big.
It is.
This is all very big, big thinking here.
It's exciting.
It is. Let's quickly go back to National Geographic TV and the experience with this guy, Ron DeFrancesco, trying to escape a burning building about 80-some-odd floors up.
When the human body is faced with a survival situation, it has an incredibly powerful but yet subtle way to try to deal with it. It's not a brain breakdown, and it's not supernatural. It's a survival adaptation that the brain has developed in extreme situations to try to keep you alive.
We are essentially hardwired to survive, and this is just one of a number of mechanisms that we can call upon to aid our survival.
A stranger had joined our group.
There was a presence that came to me that day.
I saw this person in the boat. It was so real.
So you have what they're saying is the brain gives you ways to survive. That's what it's hardwired to do.
Interesting.
And the scientific suggestion here that we will really develop in the second hour, along with the story of this man, Ron, is that there is within the mind the ability to fabricate a being that gives you direction to get out of a trauma.
And words that literally come to you.
That you hear.
Wow.
Yeah, so what they're saying is it's not angelic, it is physiological.
Or is it?
Well, and that's the question, and that's why you have to stay with us for the second hour and get to all of that. But very, very, very fascinating look at our angels, our friends, and what role do they play. Jonathan, we are going to be running out of time here, so let's just talk about these last two scriptures quickly here. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 29. God's spiritual beings serving in the capacity of angels give direction. And this is the account of Philip, who is going to go to the man from Ethiopia.
Yeah, the eunuch.
Right. And he's going to be giving him the gospel, the truth.
Explain Isaiah to him,
the prophet. Right, because the time for preaching to others than just the Jews was beginning to open up here.
Gotcha.
So an angel was responsible. So again, it's a dramatic, life-changing event, history-changing event, and an angel shows up to show the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's important. God's spiritual beings also take care of his little ones. In Matthew 18:10, and we'll get to this in the second hour, it says, "Your little these children have in heaven their angels that do always behold the face of my Father." So you give a sense that angels, God's spiritual beings, do very big, important, strong, earth-moving things, and also take care of God's small ones. In the second hour, folks, we're looking at what role do angels play in our lives. Can we talk to them? Should we talk to them? Or is it something entirely different? For Jonathan Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news and all of that. But until then, our angels are friends. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
From the Angel's Little Instruction Book written by Ellen Freeman, she writes, "Insight is better than eyesight when it comes to seeing an angel." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that topic for this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, are angels our friends? And our theme text is found in Psalms chapter 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them.
So in the first hour, we were talking about angels and their role according to the scriptures.
And we were also talking about spiritual beings, Rick.
All right, so what's the difference?
Well, we realize that the scriptures describe angels as mouthpieces for God.
Messengers right.
Set on a mission to give instruction and then leave.
All right, so God has these myriads of spiritual beings that he has created.
Yes.
Some of them he assigns to do angelic work, delivering messages.
That's right, and they're called angels.
So every angel is a spiritual being.
Yes.
But every spiritual being is not necessarily an angel.
And that's so interesting. I never looked at it that way.
Well, and that's what the scriptures tell us. And folks, if you missed that first hour, we want to remind you that you can get it at ChristianQuestions.net. You go to the archive section, and you can it'll be up there a little bit later today. We also want to welcome in our audience at WNOX 100.3 FM in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're glad you're with us for this hour. And remember, the first hour will be available to you, ChristianQuestions.net. And you can also listen live to that first hour if you can't receive it on the radio in your area by going to the Listen Live button. Where?
At ChristianQuestions.net, Rick.
All right. So, Jonathan, just finishing up our recap here very quickly. So, angels are messengers.
Yes. And we found that there's kind of a hierarchy in heaven with these spiritual beings.
Right. It seems that there were some that were higher in role mm-hmm. than others. We mm-hmm. had the cherubim and the seraphim. You had the morning stars.
Right, the day star.
You have mm-hmm. a few names of angels, Gabriel and Michael. Mm-hmm. So we have all of these things going on. And messengers. Now, these messengers, these angels do a lot of things. In the first hour, we talked about they minister to us, they foretell, they announce, they give direction, and they protect.
Yes.
So now we want to begin to get into our guardian angels real. But before we do that, what have you got for us?
Well, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us on the web at ChristianQuestions.net. Now, there are many archived programs on a variety of subjects. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. Also, at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is the summary version, and that includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. It's a free download. Now, the second is CQ Rewind, the full edition. Now, that's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcripts, and fully quoted scriptures plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. So that's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind, you heard the program, now see it as well.
What a great opportunity, and it's three. All right, so the question now, folks, the question, are guardian angels real? If you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday morning from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
Well, Rick, Julius called in the first hour, and he brought out a good point about this question. Who do angels watch over?
All right. And now, let's go back to our story that we were listening to, and we've sort of been building it up and building it up.
Yes.
This National Geographic TV story, The Angel Effect, story about a man named Ron who was in the South Tower in 9/11 and barely escaped. He was literally on the 84th floor. That's the one that was destroyed.
Yes.
And
that's where he worked.
So we're sort of following his pathway. He's in the stairwell now. It's dark, it's cold, there's oxygen deprivation, there's a lot of people in the stairway, and people are literally falling asleep because there's so little oxygen. Let's listen to what happens to him next.
I don't know who it was, but someone, you know, called me and told me to get up. It was a male voice, and it was, you know, like you were... not lifted, but there was someone helping me. You know, someone was guiding me, and basically, like, this is the way, you know.
The voice is so powerful that it urges him to get up and force his way down through the fire-filled stairs.
I don't want to sound kooky, but the presence brought me through, you know, through the flames.
Wow.
Now that's something. He hears a literal voice that tells him to get up, and it tells him, go down the stairs. But there's fire down there. Well, go down the stairs anyway. So, and obviously he's telling us the story.
Yes.
So he survives.
Obviously, yeah.
Because this voice guides him. Now, was that a guardian angel, or was that the power of his own mind? 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
All right, let's look at who are, first of all, are guardian angels real? And if they are real, does every single person have one? Well, let's take a look at the scriptures because they do give us some definition here.
Psalms 91, 11 through 13. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
Hey, that sounds pretty positive in terms of there's a vote for guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you will trample down.
So you read that and you say, wow, God's angels are given charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. You're not going to get hurt. That's what it sounds like.
That's
it's saying.
That's right.
Well, and as we look at this, let's think about Jesus for a moment. Remember, he had angels coming and minister to him.
That's right.
All right, so he had certainly angelic response in his life in a very, very big and real way. Jesus got hurt.
He did.
And he died.
He did.
So when you think about that, is it saying that guardian angels are going to keep you from every single possible little thing that you won't even stub your toe? You won't even have a hangnail because you have a guardian angel. Is that what it's saying?
No, I don't think so.
So we've got to put it all in a perspective of God's will being done in our lives, suffering persecution, suffering trial and tribulation, suffering all the things that happen to everybody, but still having this guardian angel. How do you fit that all together?
Let's go back to our theme text, Rick, okay. In Psalms 34, verse 7. That reads, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them.
All right. So, and you know, when we go to that, the account of this man, Ron, in the South Tower of the Twin Towers on 9/11, it certainly sounds like something's going on. He's hearing a voice that's guiding him down the stairs through flames.
Yeah.
So, but this scripture tells us the angel of the Lord encamp around those who fear him.
And that word fear literally means reverence,
right,
God.
Right. Let's look at Hebrews 1, 13 and 14.
But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?
So there's a theme in these scriptures, Jonathan, that sort of defines the role of guardian angel. It defines the role of who it is guardian angels protect.
Right. Those that have a relationship revere the Lord, fear the Lord, like Julius was bringing out in his comments.
So the scriptures, when they talk about angels interacting in our lives, not necessarily interacting with us personally, but in our lives from a protective standpoint,
mm-hmm.
it's saying that they are interacting with those who have reverence for God.
Yes.
So is it saying then that people don't have reverence for God, don't have guardian angels?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, and I think that if we look at that question, well, let's not answer it yet. Let's just let that one sit out there for a minute. I was about to just jump right in, but I think I'll just hold back for a moment here. And we won't take the time to read it, but Matthew, because we touched on it already, Matthew 18, it talks about Jesus has a child brought before him,
mm-hmm.
and then he talks about, you know, their angels do behold the face of God.
Yes.
You have to become as this little child. But again, it's drawing yourself to a godly perspective in your life. That's what he's telling the adults that are listening. If you don't become godly, you can't expect what we're talking about here. So I think it's giving us a very clear picture that we must have a clear reverence for God. You know what? It's like a disability insurance policy.
It is? What? Where are you going with this, Rick?
Well, think about it. If you decide to take out disability insurance,
okay.
you know, you're saying, okay, I'm going to pay a premium, and if I become hurt, unable to work, I will get paid as a result.
Okay.
So there's a cost for the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with guardian angelship, I think it's the same. We have to reverence God. We have to live our lives in a godly fashion.
First,
I'm answering the question I said I wouldn't answer,
Uh-oh.
Incidentally. and so you are paying the premium by living a godly life so that when the circumstances arise, the insurance is there.
You receive the benefits.
Right. But only because you paid the premium. You stop paying the premium, the policy lapses.
It's all over.
Right. You don't have what you wanted because you are not doing what you're supposed to. So guardian angelship, now that's not a word, does have a price. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Let's go back to the story about this man, Ron. Now he is this voice that he hears very clearly guides him down through the flames. And now he's finally on his way out of the building. This is 56 minutes after the plane hit. So let's sort of conclude this part of this story.
56 minutes have now passed since the plane hit the South Tower. Ron and his colleague make it out of the building.
We heard this loud roar and looked down to the right and saw this huge fireball coming at us. And I just yelled at him to run. And then I was trying to get out and the fireball hit me and knocked me down, and I woke up 3 days later in St. Vincent's.
Ron DeFrancesco is one of hundreds of people who made split-second decisions that determined their fate that day. But in that critical moment, he also received help from a seemingly external force. And he is not alone.
It's dramatic.
Oh, that is
utterly dramatic. And it's one of the sad things is this colleague of his that gets out with him, he gets engulfed by this fireball and he dies 2 weeks later in the hospital. So I mean, he literally is kind of a lone survivor, and he attributes this voice that guided him to get him out. Now, was that a guardian angel or something else? That's what we're putting out on the table here. Interesting thing about a voice that you hear behind you. And again, Jonathan, we won't have the time to read the entire context. But in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 18 to 21, we'll pick up our reading with verse 20. This is in the context of Israel being under siege and having a very, very grave and difficult time. They're besieged by Sennacherib. Pick up with verse 29.
Although the Lord has given you the bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher.
So he's saying, even though you're going through very difficult, stressful times, your teacher will be able to be seen by you. And now listen to verse 21.
Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left.
So he, in this verse, it's talking about hearing a voice behind you.
So what is this voice?
And it sounds so similar to what happened to this gentleman in the tower.
It really does.
Get up, go this way, or go that way. And is that the voice of a guardian angel? Is that a physiological voice that God can have an effect on? What is that voice? How does it work? What role does it play? Is it something that we can tap into whenever we want, or is it something that's beyond our reach?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are angels our friends? What about the guardian angels? Are they with us to serve us? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are angels our friends? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So we're really talking about guardian angels right now, and are guardian angels real? We've listened to a very dramatic story about a man escaping from the South Tower on 9/11, and how what got him out of the building was a voice.
That's right, and telling him where to go, to do,
and it guided him through a very difficult spot, and he was able to barely escape with his life. So, as we continue this, Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones first, and then we'll get back to some other sound bites.
All right. Well, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you too.
We have Genesis 28:12. A stairway rested on the ground, with its top reaching to the heavens, and God's messengers were going up and down on it. Angels teach us to perceive. They descend and ascend the heavenly ladder to remind us that we are not separate, that God is with us now. G.K. Chesterton wrote, "Angels can fly because they take themselves lightly. Angels show us we are not bound by our limitations, but free in God." 1 Timothy 3:16, "Who is manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels." Our brain is not wired to create angels, but to perceive them. The angels can see Christ. With their help, we can see our mission. Hebrews 2:2-3, "For if the word announced through angels proved firm, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation?"
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
So Randall is saying that, you know, we're not we're wired to be able to perceive the angels, and I think what we need to really begin to understand here in terms of Scripture is that we angels do play a role in the human condition.
They do indeed.
But it is, according to what we've seen so far in Scripture, it is a limited role.
It really is.
And that's the
specific
thing.
Specific.
Even a better word.
Doing
yeah.
God's will on our behalf.
Right, and we're going to get actually into more scriptures along that line. But first, let's just go to a soundbite that's going to tell you exactly the opposite.
Wait till you hear this.
Yeah. This is from Angels Guides Melissa from YouTube. And here's a woman who really believes that angels are just a part of her everyday, literally everyday life. This is fascinating. Listen to this.
After work, I was running and doing some errands. And in Target, very exciting, getting mundane stuff, sponges, kitty litter, junk. No intention of clothes shopping. And I'm going on there like, go down that aisle. Like, I go down the aisle. Go around this way, I go around. And all of a sudden, I'm in the clothes. And I get the, go look at the sale rack. So I'm looking at the sale rack. Not that sale rack. So I, in the other section. So I go to the other section. Sure enough, here, I've been looking for short sleeve shirts. Two of them, $10 tops, so they weren't really expensive, but they were $2.48 each. I love bargains. I'm like, so I snatched them up. Fine. Not a big deal, but very clear. Oh, get them. I can hear it like the voice in my ear.
Okay, then.
So angels point out bargains.
Well, I guess if you're a shopper, Now, look, is that what an angel, or is that what a guardian angel is for? Now, this woman, if, you know, I listened to a whole lot more than, you know, and chose to pick out that particular part of her discussion, but her whole point is angels are part of your everyday life, and if you learn to listen to them, they're going to just walk with you through every single event and every single thing that you do. I think that is an incredibly fascinating but misled perception of the role that angels play. When you think about it, when we look at the role that angels played in the scriptures, it was incredibly different than that.
Yes.
And it was
specific.
Right. And that's a great word. So, folks, if you have a thought, what role do guardian angels play in our lives? 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And if you missed our first hour, you can see it through CQ Rewind and hear it by logging on to CQChristianQuestions.net for our exclusive bonus material. Rewind content and full audio files, no cost to you, just a quick trip to ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, good. ChristianQuestions.net, that's where you want to go. Good angels always carry out the will of God without changing it. All right, that's what. Let's set the ground rules that the scriptures tell us angels follow, and that we can find that ground rule in Galatians 1:8.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed.
So even if an angel comes and gives you a different gospel, don't believe it.
That's right.
Because the gospel, the good news, does not change. 2 Corinthians 11:13-14.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
And that is, see, that's one of the disturbing things. When we talk about angels and we talk about guardian angels, one of the things we have to understand is there are good spiritual things going on, and there are bad spiritual things going on.
Major deceptions
and
all around us.
The bad spiritual things want to appear like the good ones.
Right, but they're not.
Right, and that's why we need to understand that the role of angels is very limited. As a matter of fact, the scriptures are very clear about angels. Now, listen to this now. Never, ever being at the call or the service of men.
Really?
In other words, you can't determine when that angel is going to come into your life or not.
They're not going to do what we ask them to do and serve us.
Never. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't even have that ability.
Really?
Well, let's look. Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 to 7.
Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and seeth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning me, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
So here we have Satan, and we're all familiar with this. Satan is tempting Jesus, and he's quoting the psalm that we actually talked about earlier.
Angel of light, he's talking scripture.
Right. And he's saying, look, you're not going to get hurt. The scripture says the angel is going to take charge over you, and you are pretty special to God. And Jesus' response to that is, you don't tempt the Lord your God. You know, what's the matter with you? Don't even do that. But then when you look at Matthew 26:53, in relation to what was just happening there, listen to what Jesus says.
Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?
So here, Jesus is now going to be taken to be crucified. So here is the classic example of dashing your foot against a stone, getting hurt.
Yes.
And Jesus' response is, now, let's be real careful here. I'm going to ask you the trick question.
Uh-oh.
Is Jesus saying, I can just tell those angels to come and protect me right now?
I don't think he's saying that.
He's not. He's saying, don't you know that I can pray to my Father? And he
will provide.
God has to release the angels to do whatever the work is they're supposed to do. Nobody else does that.
There you go.
So what we can say from that is, if Jesus himself didn't command the angels, because he says that he's got to be released by God, then who are we to think that we've got a Twitter account and we can follow him on Twitter?
At our beck and call.
Right. We can text the angel and tell him to, you know, I'm going shopping. Please, you know, help me with sales. You know, help me stick to my diet. You know, what clothes should I wear today? That's not, when we bring the mighty power of spiritual beings into the mundane of life, we are completely missing the point of what that mighty power is there for.
I agree with you.
Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Again, that's at ChristianQuestions.net.
So now, in relation to this, and you know, this may not be happy news
for a lot of people,
because what we're really saying is that angels' roles in the human condition are incredibly limited, and God essentially dispatches them with very strict instructions and guidelines. That's what the scriptures seem to be telling us.
It does.
And so when we go back to this, the account of this man Ron escaping from the tower, and hearing a voice that tells him to get out. Is that a guardian angel's voice, or was that a physiological thing that happened inside of his own mind? Let's go back to the National Geographic special on this, the angel effect, because they tell you, they've got some very fascinating facts and figures, if you will, in terms of the physiology of the human brain under great stress and difficult conditions.
Today, Persinger believes that during intense trauma, this ancient, primitive function of the brain clicks back into place. The right hemisphere intrudes on the left, which controls the sense of self, along with logical thinking, and creates this non-existent entity. Persinger says this ancient ability in our brains resurfaces only under extreme stress and conditions.
So what our physiology does when you're in stress is elevate the activity of the right hemisphere, pushing it across to the threshold that allows you to be aware.
Interesting.
It is interesting. So what he's saying is that the physiology of the brain is what clicks in this phantom, if you will, this other voice, this other person, because the part that deals with your sense of self is oxygen deprived, but your instinct, your inborn instinct for survival takes that self and brings it out of you so it can sort of see what you're doing from a different perspective and guide you where you just can't see yourself because it's so clouded.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's an amazing phenomenon that is physiological. And I, you know what? What it does for me is it makes me marvel at the creation of humankind
and the mind and how it works
and the mind of God to create something that can do that.
Yeah,
just it's an incredible thing. So, folks, again, we're talking about the role of angels in our lives, and what we're really saying is that, you know, perhaps guardian angels are not there to be communicated with. The only times in Scripture you had anybody communicating with an angel is when an angel was delivering a specific message.
And then they left.
And it was always about the furtherance of the plan of God.
Good point.
It was always about the furtherance of the gospel. That's what it was. It wasn't about themselves. Hey, you're looking good today, Jonathan.
Thanks, Angel.
It just wasn't. Yeah, it was much more focused than that. See, Satan's current position and strategy is to get in the way of what is real.
Fog it up. Cloud it up.
Yeah.
So that you don't know what's going on.
And we've touched on a couple of these scriptures before, but let's go back to them. 2 Corinthians 4:4.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
So the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So there is a
confusion.
Right. But it's from a spiritual realm which is above our ability.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to be very careful, and that's why going back to a scriptural guideline of what angels are and what angels do is so incredibly important. And then we already touched on the scripture, you marvel not at this, Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light.
He looks good,
right,
even though he's evil.
And we want that spiritual input into our lives. We do.
The right spiritual input.
and that's the big problem, is how do you know if the input you're getting is the right spiritual input? So we're looking at the physiological aspect, you know, through this National Geographic TV, through the sound bites. And
it makes a lot of sense.
It really it does. And we actually have a couple more sound bites coming up in the next segment in relation to that. But, you know, that scripture we talked about last segment, you hear your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
sounds so much like what happened to that guy.
It really does.
Well, here, you know, I was talking this over, the scripture over and this sound bite over, actually with my sister who lives in Montana. She helps me every week with program preparation.
Joy, right?
Joy, yeah. And this is what she emailed back to me about this, a thought. The survival mechanism that God has instilled in the human brain would be able to take the spiritual guidance from past experience, from the Word of God, and present it in a way that appears outside of ourselves and objective enough to a person that would be able to listen and act. Our understanding of this Isaiah text is that the voice behind us is the time-tested Word of God, the voice of God that comes through the apostles and the prophets of the past. So perhaps for those who have that God-fearing, that God-respecting way of living,
that relationship,
when they are in great duress, they can hear a voice behind them. But it can be a physiological thing, but it is tempered with all of the goodness and all of the righteousness and all of the will of God.
And the word that's already been instilled in your
right,
mind.
That they have listened to and studied and prayed and meditated upon. And perhaps that is one of the ways that God works with us. Now, is that a guardian angel? I don't think so. But what I think it is one of the ways that God can help us go through tragedy and difficulty and see His will, not our own.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are angels our friends? Does God use angels to intervene on His behalf so that His perfect plan and kingdom will surely come? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are angels our friends? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
So when you ask that question, are angels our friends, if I were to have to answer that question with a yes or no answer, I'd have to say no. Because they're not our friends.
Aww.
From the standpoint...
You burst the bubble.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. But from the standpoint of communicating one back and forth and working together, they work directly for God on my behalf. I believe in guardian angels, absolutely. But they are from the administration of God in heaven for my benefit. I don't know what they're doing. At some point later on, we'll find out what kind of role they played in my life. And we, like Julia said earlier, we'd be incredibly grateful
mm-hmm.
for their presence. But it is invisible as far as I can see from a scriptural standpoint. Now, here's another question. You know, what kind of interaction do we have with angels? Should we ever pray to them?
No.
Well, and the scriptures are telling us very specifically who we should pray to. Matthew 6:6.
But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
So you never have any scripture telling us to pray to anybody other than God.
That's right.
Through Jesus.
Right, so we don't pray to angels. We also don't pray to saints.
We should be praying to the Heavenly Father. That is where our guidance comes from.
Through the conduit of Jesus and His sacrifice.
Because no man comes unto the Father except by Him.
Right.
So do we ask angels then for favors?
Why would we?
Well, and that's exactly the point. Why would we? Because they are not at our beck and call.
No, they're not.
They are at the command of the Heavenly Father. Now, think about that for a second. I mean, think about how lofty that is.
That's huge.
When you say, okay, you believe you have guardian angels,
mm-hmm.
and they are at the command of God on your behalf. That's a pretty strong, amazing, unbelievably powerful connection.
It is.
And why do we want to minimize it by getting in the way?
Good point.
To me, that's really what it boils down to here. Why would we minimize it by getting in the way? Jonathan, we're going to need to start to move along here. So we'll just reference John 14, 12 to 14 at this point. But let's go to the next soundbite here. This is from that same National Geographic program, and this is an account of a woman who was a diver whose husband had died, and she went. This was her first dive after her husband died. They used to explore caves together.
Okay.
She got lost in the cave. She lost her lifeline, and she was going to die. She was in utter panic, and here's what she says afterwards.
For Schwab, she has been saved by a presence she was sure was her dead husband.
Whether it was spiritual or whether it was biochemical, what happened caused me to calm down enough to focus again and be able to have that opportunity to actually find my way out.
And in the account, if you watched the program as I did, she was convinced that this was her husband guiding her out of this cave where it was impossible to find her way. And suddenly she was in utter panic and things became calm and clear and she could find the line and pulled herself
the lifeline?
Up. The lifeline,
okay.
that she had lost. And so, but again, she's saying whether it's biochemical or whether it's spiritual, all I know is it got me out.
Something happened.
Right. Something happened that was beyond me.
In the panic state.
Right. In that panic trauma state that we were referring to in the case of that gentleman in the World Trade Center, and there's so many other case histories along that line. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right, we have David from Tennessee. Welcome to the program, David.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well, sir. How about you?
I'm doing good, and I've got a little story here that y'all might be interested in. I don't think this is biochemical, and the other day I was walking around in the field outside, and I was really concerned about all that's going on in the world, the wars and everything, and how it's going to affect me. And the thing is, I was very concerned. And I'm a Christian, and I asked God, I said, God, talk to me. Tell me what to do. I've got a problem. I don't know what to do. And I was praying to him, looking up at the clouds, walking around the field, and I just got through praying. I said, well, Lord, talk to me. Tell me something. So I went and get in the truck. I was going to go somewhere. Turned the radio on. And a preacher was on there, and he said, quit worrying. I said, God will take care of you. And then he told the story about the birds and all these different things. And then I listened to that a little bit. And then just for a minute. And then I turned the radio station to another station. I was going to listen to something else. And I thought, that's a coincidence. The next preacher was a different preacher. And he was saying similar to the same thing, but a different scripture on a different line. But it was saying the same thing. Quit worrying. I'll take care of you. So I took that as the note that God told me over the radio. I mean, he talks to you in different ways other than just a voice. You know,
yeah.
He uses any means he wishes to.
Right, right. And you know, your story is very well taken because so often we are seeking the will of God with that sincerity, and we will get a very clear answer. We just have to have our mind open to receiving that answer, and that seems to be exactly what happened to you.
Thank you very much.
Well, appreciate your call, David. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, and that's a great story.
That was.
And what it does is it puts things in perspective, because was he praying to an angel?
No.
Did an angel answer him?
See, no, he was praying to God.
God, the whole idea about, you know, what prayers does God answer and so forth, that's a whole different subject. But he touched on something where God has the ability, obviously, to communicate with us through our experiences, through the things that we do, through the things that we say, through the things that we think.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about specifically here, and David, again, thanks so much for sharing your experience. It's very, very appropriate for this conversation. But what we're looking at here is, what role do angels play? And the point, I think, Jonathan, that we're making might not be a happy point for everybody, but if you are seeking fellowship with your guardian angel, stop.
The scriptures don't present that as the case.
There is no scriptural guideline anywhere for someone having their angel be their buddy. Now, are angels guiding and directing and protecting us?
By God's grace.
Yes, they are. But it's according to God's grace, and most of their work is completely invisible. We'll only see perhaps the result of their work,
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe it's in our place to see them. The only time angels were ever seen, and let's skip down to this, Jonathan. When did angelic intervention angelic intervention occur? There are key times, and let's go through some of them.
at key points when God's plan would be impossible to understand.
Okay, Abraham, you're going to have a son. You know, I know you're 100 years old, but don't worry. Mary, she's going to have a child. She's never been with a man. Impossibility in both of those things.
You're right.
Zechariah, he and his wife.
In his old age.
Again, so at points where the plan would be impossible to understand, it took an angel to get it over the next step.
At key points when God's plan required specific prophecies to be written.
You think of Daniel, for instance. Daniel had a lot of interaction with angels, but was it for his own good and his own benefit?
No.
Was it to he was a prophet, he was writing, and look, he was protected. You know, the angels came and closed the mouths of the lions.
Yes, yes.
Because his work was important to the furthering of the plan of God. Zechariah, another example of someone who had that angelic experience, but it was because the plan of God was at stake. It's not what you're going to have for dinner that's at stake.
It's how about if we eat steak?
Next point.
At key points when God's human messengers needed extra assistance.
All right. So when God's messengers needed extra assistance, reminds us of Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
With the prophets of Baal.
That's right.
Okay. Hagar. We talked about that early in the first hour. Gideon, another example. These are all examples of times when angels became a part of the human experience. And the theme is...
For God's purpose.
For God's purpose. They came, they did their work, and they left.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the constant theme. Folks, if you have a thought, now would absolutely be the time. 866-985-4255, toll free. 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
All right, when else does angelic intervention occur?
At key points when God's plan was in danger of being thwarted.
The apostles in prison.
That's right.
Remember, the angel comes and takes their shackles off and
releases
unlocks the door
them.
And
yes.
Says, okay, you can go now.
Yep.
All right? Now, did the apostle Peter say, hey, why don't you come with us and have a cup of tea when we get meet with the rest of the disciples?
No.
No, the angel came, did the job, and left.
How about at key points when God's plan was to be expanded?
Remember when Cornelius, the first Gentile convert, came into play? What happened? Angelic intervention on the part of Peter, because he had to realize unequivocally that the plan of God was going to go beyond the Jewish nation, and he had to be given a very clear picture of that.
Yes.
And Cornelius had the same kind of angelic vision.
That's right, he did.
So they were both together given something to go on that said, okay, things are changing now. But it was the moving of the plan of God. It wasn't how they felt about their life. It wasn't should I take this job or that job. So we need to understand that when we look at the scriptures, angelic intervention is very specific, very dynamic, and very brief.
There you go.
All right. Let's sum up our sound bites, going back to the angel effect one more time from National Geographic TV. Summing up the science, if we can, from this program, Explorer.
When the temporal lobe shuts down, the nerve cells there, they tend to want to fire anyway. So they start to fire randomly. So now Ron is also getting impulses from his temporal lobe. He's getting sights and sounds which are forming images. His brain has to make sense of this. Ron wants to survive. He's got to make sense of all the input he's getting at the same time. The only way to do that is to incorporate the two phenomena. He puts them together and projects an image, a phantom. He uses that image to maintain his composure, to make smart decisions, and that image leads him out of danger and keeps him alive.
That's a phenomenal thing.
Wow, that's very scientific.
And here's the thing, Jonathan. Rather than saying, wow, okay, what a great job that guardian angel did, why don't we say, wow, what a great job God did in creating the human mind to have that kind of capacity, that even under such deep duress, you're able to be able to move forward somehow or other.
Wow.
And see, that's putting credit where credit is due. You know, and that's another thing. Angels are not looking for credit. They're not looking for acknowledgement.
No.
That's not their job. That's nowhere in the scriptures do we have them looking for something.
Except Satan.
Yeah, well, point well taken. He poses as an angel of light, as a messenger of light. As a messenger, he poses as a messenger sent by God.
He wants the honor instead of giving it to God.
And that's where the big default is here. That's where the big problem comes. So we must understand that angels are incredibly powerful, powerful, powerful beings beyond our comprehension. That's the first thing.
Be careful.
Second thing, they are powerful, and thank God they report to God Almighty. I mean, can you imagine if something of such great power reported to you or me? What a mess we'd make. Think
true,
about it. Yeah.
True.
So we've just got to keep it in its right perspective. Remember, they do protect us, and you know that should give us great comfort. Now, when we do get hurt, and we do have trials, and we do have difficulties, what does that tell us? That those are being overruled by God.
Mm-hmm.
God is saying, allow this to happen.
That's right. They hold us up. They encamp around us, right? Some of the scriptures.
Well, you think about that for a minute. Think about that as a vision. The angels of the Lord encamp around about those who fear him.
Wow.
That should give us great comfort that whatever is allowed to go through that encampment is allowed by God himself.
That's amazing.
And we are told that things will get through that on purpose to teach us. We're told in the scriptures, there's no trial that has taken to you, that taken you, but such as is common to man, but God will provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say you're going to be exempt from trouble.
Right.
He says you're going to be able to learn from trouble and be able to bear it if you rely on me.
Because a lot of bad things happen to good people.
They do. And as a matter of fact, Jonathan, next week, we're going to be focusing on exactly that. And the reason for that, and I want to end with this now, folks, is really I really want you to tune in next week and tell your friends this is an important program. We got somebody responded to us on Facebook about losing their child and how distraught they were and felt that God had abandoned them. And so we changed our programming schedule to deal with why do such bad things happen to good people. Because, look, the world is full of bad things
it is.
Happening to good people.
Yes.
And the point here as we close this program up, folks, is angels are there for those of us who are really, truly focusing on loving and serving and honoring God. Let us appreciate their presence in our lives, thank God for their presence in our lives, and let them do their job, because their job is not to interact with us. Our job is to interact with God through Jesus, through prayer. That's where our interaction needs to be. That's where our direction will come from. Angels are merely messengers that God sends to make sure that we are protected. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning. We encourage you to go to Facebook, leave your comments and thoughts there with us. And again, until next week, are angels a part of our lives? Are they our friends? How do we treat them? A lot of scriptures. We'll be back next week. Think about it.